Good day, everyone, and welcome to ECL's first quarter 2016 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued this morning, it is available on the company's website at www.ecl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. We would like to advise participants that this call is dedicated to investors and market analysts, not for the press. We ask all journalists to contact ECL's PR department for details. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Freitas. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Blair, and good morning, everybody. I'm here in Santiago with the whole team of ECL for Investor Relations, and we are pleased to report to you the results of the first quarter of this year. I trust that you all have in front of you the presentation that we uploaded to our webpage 2 days ago. So I propose we get started jumping to page 3 of the presentation, which is the highlights of the quarter, which I can clearly say that was the net income that we had for $212 million net income in the first quarter of this year, which was basically due to the non-recurring events such as the sale of half of 10. You all know that we closed the transaction in January of this year. The net impact of the sale of 10 all-in was more or less $200 million onto our net results. So this was, I would say, the most important highlight of this quarter. From an EBITDA perspective, there is a drop in 12% from $80 to $71 million this quarter, basically due to the reduction in certain index that adjust our PPA, such as the US PPI, for example. The US PPI was negative, so it is a direct hit into our revenues, as well as some smaller mismatches between costs and revenues. We do have all our PPAs indexed to coal prices and gas prices and inflation, which give us, over the long term, some stability. But on a quarter-on-quarter comparison, it sometimes there is some volatility. And also higher emission cost to reduce emissions, which we started to have there in Tocopilla last year. On the other side, we have done a huge effort to cut costs, and we are reporting already some cost-saving numbers, not only from a FX perspective. Of course, the devaluation of the Chilean peso has positively contributed to our numbers because some of our costs are in dollars, are in pesos, sorry. But the whole company is involved in reviewing its cost base, and we are indeed cutting costs throughout the company to maintain our margins. And the EBITDA margin increased to 13.6% over our revenues. So our revenues reduced by 20%, such as is our cost. So our EBITDA margin has in fact improved a bit in comparison to last first quarter of last year. And the sale of 10 increased our cash position to more or less $400 million as of end of March. And as such, our net debt reduced by more or less 45%. Although the gross debt was stable, net debt is now much lower because of the sale of 10. As you probably remember, in end of January of this year, we collected more or less $300 million from the sale of 10, not only the sale of shares of 10, but also the sale of part of the rest of the debt that ECL had with them. These loans were now split between ECL and Red Eléctrica from Spain. from a non-financial perspective, on the page number 4, I'm pleased to report that the construction of IEM-1 is advancing according to schedule and the budget that we have approved, as well as not only the new coal-fired plant, but also the new port. The same is happening for 10. 10 is also advancing pretty well and within the budget that we have forecasted for 10. From a dividend perspective, you all have seen that on Tuesday we approved an extra dividend payment of more or less $64 million, which is we are anticipating this payment of dividends because we thought it was a good idea to anticipate this distribution and instead of just waiting for September, which is what we usually do. As you remember, we usually distribute 3 times a year, in May, and then in September, based on the first half results, and then the final distribution in January. So we decided to anticipate this distribution from September to now, to May, because we had a lot of cash, and we thought it would be a good idea to distribute to you shareholders. On top of that, we also approved the final event of last year. So now we closed the distributions of last year, which now are 30% of the results of 2015. Another important note is the change of the name of ECL to Engie Energia Chile. It was approved by the shareholders meeting on Tuesday, 2 days ago, and we decided to change to Engie Energia Chile because we thought that we can leverage more onto the name of Engie, which is a much, let's say, powerful name. It also shows the support of Engie to ECL, and this is going to be important in our entrance into the SIC. We won a new PPA in the SIC, as you know, 1.5 years ago, and we are moving into the SIC. We are advancing with more projects and with more clients, industrial clients, into the SIC. And as such, we thought that the name of Engie would provide us with more credibility and visibility that can support our marketing efforts. And finally, the final note here is the delay in the distribution company's tender, PPA, that was postponed to July 27 because of the of the delay of the approval of the new transmission law in Chile. We are looking onto this option. We are not desperate to participate onto this option. And I think it's important to highlight that I think the main important comparative advantage of ECL is the PPA portfolio that we have. So we are virtually fully contracted over the next year, and we can participate to optimize our portfolio and to launch some renewables capacity as well. But we are not going to be a major participant into this new auction, as some of our peers may have to be. You all know that the company too well, so I propose that we jump some slides here and we go straight to number 8. That's a slide that I love, because, and I always repeat this slide number 8, which is to illustrate that regardless of the fluctuation of the copper prices, overall, the output of the copper production from the zinc companies is more or less stable. So you can see here that the 4 million tons per year produced out of the zinc mining companies has been pretty much stable over the last 10 years. And this is regardless of the fluctuation of the copper prices, which is now at 225. It was at 4 or 5 years ago. It was at 2 6 years ago. So at the end, the output of copper is pretty much stable, but with increasing demand for power. And this not only for the lower content of integrated or grades, but mainly, and this is going to be the trend for the future, mainly because of the more and more consumption of power to pump water up to the mining mills. So this is going to be an important driver for the consumption of power in the sink. And that's why we are pretty confident to say that in the sink, the consumption of energy is going to keep increasing. In the sink, it is slightly different. In the sink, more or less 70% of the demand comes from regulated customers. And in that front, the consumption is increasing much lower. Last year was more or less flat. This year shall be flat, more or less, as well. So, but in the sink, which is our core market so far, the demand is increasing. Now, moving ahead to the slide number 13. On slide 13, you see that the new PPA that we won for up to 5,000 gigawatt hours, the current monomic price of this PPA is $115 per megawatt hour. That's why I keep saying that our portfolio of PPAs is our most important asset. And if you see this monomic price, if you compare it to our current monomic price, which is on page 17, which is 91, you see that there is a trend that our average selling price is going to increase over time. And this new PPA, this one that is now at $115, is at a price that is much higher than the price that we are seeing right now in the market, the price that we saw in the last auction. And the trend is that at the mark-to-market of our PPA is huge. That's why we're pretty happy to report that we are contracted, we are sold for next years. We have more or less between 95 and 100% sold until 2024. So not only we are virtually fully contracted, but also with PPAs that are signed for the long term. Our average remaining lifetime of our PPAs, which is in page 15, is more or less 10 years. There are some PPAs that mature only in 2032, for example. There are others that are going to mature in more than short term. On average, our remaining lifetime is more than 10 years. So we have 10 years of PPAs for almost 100% of the capacity, of the fishing capacity, because at the end, the for example, the backup plants, we don't contract. And with clients that are creditworthy. So for example, Codelco represents 32% of our sales. The AMSA, which is Antofagasta PLC, is more or less 16-17%. The Chilean distribution companies today, which is ML, is more or less 22%, going to increase over time. So the portfolio of clients, the portfolio of PPAs, the balance between industrial and distribution companies is, I would say, the competitive advantage of ECF. And these PPAs, now moving back to slide number 14, these PPAs are all indexed to commodity prices and/or to inflation. So here you have the weighted average indexation of all our power revenues. So this is including capacity payments and energy payments. Capacity payments represent more or less one-third of our energy revenue, and is virtually fully indexed to inflation, to American inflation, US CPI and CPI. So that's why I said in the beginning that because of the reduction in the PPI, which was driven by the commodity prices, we had a small reduction in margin this quarter in the energy margin, which was compensated by the reduction in costs. So that's why the EBITDA margin was slightly higher. And the other important thing to mention here in this slide 14 is that from the commodity perspective, you can see that more or less 33% of our revenues is in to coal and 18% to gas. So more or less coal is twice as relevant in revenues as gas. But in the cost side, the weight of coal is a bit higher. So the weight of coal, so we are today, we are burning much more coal than gas. So when gas prices reduce faster than coal prices, we have a direct hit in our margins. So, for example, that's what happened this year. If we advance two slides to page 16, you can see here on the orange line the evolution of the Henry Hub monthly average. So the Henry Hub as of end of March was at $1.7 per million BTU, pretty low. And it was a drastic reduction in the Henry Hub over the last month. So, from a coal perspective, the reduction, the coal put in Tocopilla and the coal put in Mejillones, the reduction is not that strong. Because we have the coal, the commodity coal, plus the transportation, the internal taxes, etc. So at the end, the reduction in the coal prices was lower than the one in gas. So when this happens, we have a slight reduction in margins. So in a nutshell, PPAs index to commodities, which work pretty well over the long term, but does produce some volatility quarter on quarter. Now, advancing a bit to page 17 again, you see here the pile of generation supply cost of ECL. Here, one thing important to mention is that our most expensive or most inefficient coal plants are the ones here on the right, the ones in Tocopilla, the U12, 13, 14, and 15. So with the commissioning of more capacity in the sink, namely Cochrane from Henner, which is now being tested, the first unit of Cochrane today is being tested and shall be commissioned within a month, more or less. The second unit also being tested in 6 months from now. With this, another more than 500 megawatts being available in the sink, the likelihood that the unit 13 and 12 be dispatched is lower, much lower. But this is going to be good for ECL, because for every hour that we don't dispatch this plant, because we can buy less expensive power from the system, we make money. As simple as that. In a given period, if these plants are not dispatched, it's because there is somebody else producing cheaper. And this somebody else is the whole system. And so ECL, the company ECL, is going to buy more power from the system. But it's going to be good for us. So please don't be too paranoid looking at the generation stake of each company per month or per quarter, because today it is important. In 6 months, it won't be that important, because ECL, the take of ECL last year, ECL generated more or less 90% of what it sold. This is going to decrease. This year is going to be lower, next year is going to be lower. But this is going to be good for ECL, because we are a thermal player and because we are contracted. If we were a hydro player uncontracted, it's going to be different. But we are a thermal player and we are contracted. So at the end, the availability of more power in the sink is going to be good for us from this perspective, but also from the perspective of the possibility of selling power to Argentina. As you know, there's agreement between Chile and Argentina to export power, and first electricity, but also gas. But from an electricity perspective, we these two plants, the unit 12 and 13, are likely to be the ones that will be exported to Argentina on an opportunistic basis. this is done every week. So now that there will be more power in the sink, and now that the winter is starting in Argentina, it is likely that we are going to sell power from this unit to Argentina. Me, ECL plus Hender. The deal is done, it's led by Hender. Hender is the owner of the line. Hender makes the fronting in Argentina. But Hender buys power from the most efficient available capacity in Chile, which will be the students. So here is a upside that we have for this year. Another upside for this year as well is on page 18, the famous overcosts, sobrecostos, which were an issue 3 years ago. Now it's no longer a big issue. You can see here in the table that on first quarter of last year, the total sobrecostos in the system amounted to $35.8 million, of which half, more or less, was a burden to ECL. ECL was in charge of more or less $60 million. And more or less half of this, so 54% of this, can be passed through to prices. So the net hit in our EBITDA last year was more or less $8 million, $7.5 million. Today, this year, the total sobrecostos in the system reduced to $9.5 million. So it's a 73% reduction year on year. And as such, the pro rata take of ECL is now only 4.8, and half of this more or less would pass it through to prices. So what used to be 7.58 now is 2. So there is an important reduction into the impact of sobrecostos onto the whole system, also onto ECL. And this is going to be more and more relevant over time, because there is more capacity being commissioned. Of course, this can be slightly higher if the diesel prices increase again, but the amount of energy produced because of sobrecostos is going to reduce because of the new capacity being commissioned in the sink. So it's likely that probably in 6 months from now we no longer even have this slide here to be commented. Now a bit more details on the project. Page 20. IEM 1 is being built according to schedule, according to budget, as I said. And the capex is $1.1 billion, more or less, virtually fully hedged. So not only the capex of the coal plant plus the new port is virtually hedged. So that's why you don't see much volatility between the numbers that we have today and numbers that we had 3 months ago. That we do see this changes in 10, and I'm going to comment a bit more on this later. But IEM is advancing as planned. IEM 2, as I said, and as we have already stated, will not be built by ECL. We are not going to spend money and energy onto IEM 2, because we do want to have a more balanced portfolio onto the thing. On the 6th, and with renewables and gas. So we are walking the talk. We don't want to be even more exposed in generation with coal in the sink. So we are not going to build IEM2, but we do want to sell it. So we may sell it at this project, assuming, of course, that we can find a suitable player to buy it. We are starting this effort right now. Advancing now to page 22 to talk about 10. 10 as well, advancing well, and the capex that we see here, more or less $800 million. This is a bit higher than what used to be 3 months ago because of the FX fluctuation. In 10, more or less two-thirds of the capex is hedged, and one-third is not hedged. And why is this? Because the project financing of them is more or less one-third in pesos with inflation, with US, and two-thirds more or less in dollars. And why is this? Because the underlying asset, the underlying contract, which is the backup for the project finance, meaning the future revenues of them, are more or less 60% in dollars and 40% in US. As you can see on page 25, the indexation is here 41% in CLSP with Chile CPI, meaning US, and 6% more or less in dollars with US CPI. So the project financing is matching this future revenue stream, and hence the EPC must match the project financing. So today, about end of March, because of the revaluation of Chilean peso from December to March, now we have more dollars to spend. So in the past it was 776, now it's more or less $800 million. So basically it is a fluctuation of FX. One important note here on 10 and now on page 24 is that we have secured 100% of the rights of way. We have closed agreements with all of the landowners and with the state of Chile to have the full length of the line already with right of way. That's an important milestone that we must celebrate, and we are now advancing well according to plan. Now, one thing that is new here on page 27, the CCGT Las Arcillas. This was in the press 3 weeks ago, more or less, because we started what we call the early socialization process in the province of Temuco, in the region of Biobío, in the south of Chile. It means that we are starting to discuss with the local community to develop this possibility in coordination and in agreement with the local community. That's the way we do business. We're not going to simply go there and install a new CCGT. We are right now discussing with the community to see their concerns, the environmental impact assessment is still to be submitted. We have not yet submitted this. It shall be done in the second half of this year. And then, if we, in the future, have the conditions to develop this plant and to build this plant, and then we will do so. But we are not going to grow for the sake of growing. That's not our style. We do want to grow in coordination with local community, and we do like to make money when we make investments. We don't want to have the ambition of being the number X in Chile and having X presence in the city. We do want to grow in a profitable way. So this profitability way is going to be given by the market. So it's the same with our other possibilities, such as the solar plants that we are developing in the city, such as the wind farms that we have developed in the north. So we have a portfolio of development possibilities that we are going to trigger once the conditions are there. So this last year, you see here the capex for a bit less than $500 million. This is not today in our capex plan. This is one possibility that we may launch in the future. And this is not for the new auction in July. Some people were asking this question. In the auction of July, as I said, we may participate with some renewables together with some of our existing capacity, but we don't have much, as I mentioned. So the renewable possibility is real. So we are looking at some possibilities in solar and PV in the city. But this Las Arcillas project is not for this. on the CAPEX plan, page 28, more or less for this year, for the remaining part of this year, we have $264 million, plus the equity contributions into 10, so a bit less than $400 million that we do have in our cash position. So we don't need this year to search for more financing. On top of the project finance for 10, you all know that we are working on the project finance for 10. This is going to be more or less 80% leverage and 20% in equity contributions, half from ECL, half from REE, Federación de España. And this is advancing well. We have already mandated the bank, which means that they are now working in the due diligence so that they can go to our to their credit committees in May or beginning of June. And then once they are okay with this, and then we start to negotiate the final documentation, which takes time. So at the end, we think that we're going to close it in the third quarter of this year with drawdown before the end of the year. So our idea is to close and make the first drawdown by the end of this year. Which is here on page 29. So our financing plan, apart from the project finance, was also to increase our leverage. That's why we signed 1 year ago a new credit line with five banks that we have not yet drawn. So we may join later this year, but so far we do have available cash for it. So, and next year we are going to execute the final step in our financing plan. The whole financing plan comprises five steps. The first one was to reduce dividends, and we are walking the talks. We always said that we are going to distribute more when we have less capex, and the reverse. Now, with the case now, we are in the middle of a big capex plan, so we have cut to 30% our payout. First. Second, to increase leverage. We signed the five-year commitment line with five banks that we're going to draw pretty soon. The third piece is to increase and use the cash position of the company. The sale of 10 was part of this. With the project finance of 10, the final step is to be executed only next year, and this can be the sale of certain non-core assets, such as the new port that we're building in Mejillones. It can be a stake in the lines of transmission that we do have right now. And in the last priority, if everything goes wrong, maybe a capital increase. But this is not in our plans. This is, we are working hard to maintain a lot of options open so that we can avoid a capital increase. And I think that's the way we are going to do it. I don't think we are going to have a capital increase. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely. Because another possibility is to issue a hybrid bond, which, as you probably know, half of this is seen as equity by the rating agencies. So this also helps to maintain a certain leverage ratio under control. A few months ago, I wouldn't say this, but now the market is reopening. You all have seen the Argentina issuing $16.5 billion. So I can anticipate that within a few months, there will be, again, hybrid bonds being issued in the market. So not this year, but maybe next year, we're going to issue a bond as this. So we have this option to be implemented next year to close our financing plan. Now to close the presentation, I suppose we jump to page 33. The EBITDA comparison quarter on quarter, the main impact that I mentioned, so a slightly increasing sales clients of $2 million, the cost savings that we implemented with more $4 million, plus three with the FX effect onto our costs. So the total cost reduction is $7 million. on the negative side, the lower margins, minus $80 million for the PPI and the part of mismatch that I mentioned. But also here, a bit more than $3 million of this eight is because we consume in the first month of this year the LNG boat, the LNG cargo that we bought from ENAT last year that arrived only in December. So this gas, this more expensive gas, was in our stock at the end of December. So we burned this gas in January and certain in February. So that's why we see here lower margins, because this was the gas was only burned at the beginning of this year. It's also true that we have this higher emission reduction cost for $4 million. In June of last year, we started to use hydrated lime in the plants of Tocopilla. Part of it can be passed through to customers, part cannot. So the net impact is $4 million. And the absence of gas sales, which last year and 2014 had an effect of a bit more than $20 million per year, net-net. So since we don't have any more gas sales, the impact is 5 in this quarter. From a net income perspective, here the clear highlights are the non-recurrent issues. The first one is sale 10 on page 34. The sale 10 with two impacts. The first one is the sale itself of the shares, net of taxes. And also we had to revaluate the remaining 50% of TEN that is in our balance sheet. In our balance sheet, TEN is no longer consolidated, so it's really equity method. But we do have to reevaluate the remaining 50%. So the fair value of this also positively impacted the numbers of the first quarter. And both impacts are distributable, so we can distribute these effects. And hence, we had announced this big dividend to be paid in May. On the red bars, the negative side, there was the asset impairment of certain assets, mainly Tamaya. Tamaya is a fuel oil plant for 105 megawatts. There are 10 engines. Fuel oil engines, they are close to Tocopilla, that today they don't dispatch. They haven't dispatched much last year, and this year they're not dispatching. And basically, as I said, with the new capacity being commissioned into the sink, the economic value of Tamaya was lower than what we had in our books. So we had this $18 million for impairment of Tamaya. With this, and with page 37, the explanation for the reduction of the net debt, basically the sale of TEN, also the sale of a substation to Sokmich. We had a frequency converter with substation that we sold to Sokmich with a PPA that we didn't renew with them that ended in March. This was sold for $13 million, which means $10 million net of tax. So with this, I finish the presentation, and I'm now open for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pull your question, that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. At this time, I'm not showing any additional questions, but it'll conclude the question and answer section. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor back to ECL for any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Either it was very clear or nobody understood anything. but I do appreciate your attention, and we are remain available for any other questions and further comments. But at the end, I think that we are very pleased to announce this result. We are walking the talk. We are delivering what we promised in the past. And I also like to remind everybody that on the 26th of May, here in Santiago, we will have our annual Investors Day, in which the management team of ECL will be there with you to present the prospects of the companies and the results of the quarter, but also more to talk about long term, also to discuss about where the market is evolving, where ECL is evolving. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting. So I do invite you all to be there. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day. 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 This time and have a nice day.